There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is
you. You're slimy scumbag
that
on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geeks 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast, the countdown. The days are getting closer. Lee is, my normal co-host, is on vacation. She's enjoying the beach and the weather. And right now we don't have any hurricanes, so that works out really well for her where she's at. But stepping into her shoes, no one can fill Lee's shoes because they're so tiny. Actually, everyone can fill Lee's shoes because they are so tiny. But anyway, serving as our guest host today is the none other than the candy-coated Princess of Darkness, Kim. Kim, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderfully well. How are you?
I am awesome. So are you ready for Dragon Con?
I'm getting ready for Dragon Con. It always sneaks up on me because I get busy during the summer and then it's, oh my gosh, it's almost here.
Well, let me tell you, there as of the recording of this, there are only 45 days left of Dragon Con. You know what's weird is I'm looking at Dragon Con's countdown on their site. I'm trying to figure out how they do this because I could have sworn we were in lockstep with the countdown because I just posted today day 6 of the 50-day countdown. So it should say 44 on here, but it says 45. And I swear it said 45 yesterday as well. But I know it's a little thing that's doing the countdown form, so I don't know. Maybe I'm losing my mind. That is a very good possibility.
Maybe their server's on GMT.
That could be it, too. And the voice you just heard is Kevin from the Kim, how do you say it?
Mamorpica?
Yes, Mamorpica fan
yes,
track.
Mamorpica track.
It's just so much quicker than spelling it all out.
MMORPG.
I love Yahtzee, but I hate him for that.
How you doing,
sorry,
Kevin?
I am in the proverbial one-armed paper hanger. Busy, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Gotcha.
Way of saying, I'm wonderful. How are you?
Gotcha. It took me for a minute there. It's a wallpaper hanging, right? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, they used to have this stuff called wallpaper back when I was a kid. I don't think they use it anymore, all these young kids today. You know.
Well, you know, they do use it, actually, because I do, unfortunately, watch lots of home shows. But they use it. They're like solid color now. They're rarely ever, you know, what we picture as kids as wallpaper.
Do they have like a fancy texture or something? Because otherwise, why wouldn't you just paint?
Paint, yeah, I know. Sometimes they do. I don't know why you wouldn't just paint. That's true. But a lot of times I just see they look just solid color. Anyway, what were we talking about? Welcome to the Dragon Con podcast where we talk about wallpaper.
Welcome to my ability to derail any topic of conversation.
I'm trying to think of an online RPG where you would hang wallpaper. And I'm having trouble. I don't know. It sounds like something you might do in EVE Online if they ever introduced a house expansion. But then you need a spreadsheet.
Yeah, but then CCP would sell special custom wallpapers to their players for $75 a pop like they did with that Monocle a while back. Not that I'm bitter.
And then everybody would steal each other's wallpaper and post lengthy novels about it. Which is, of course, the most interesting part of EVE.
It's like, I want his wallpaper. I think I'll take it.
No. First, you have to create a false identity. Build it up for 6 months, worm your way into his confidence and get him to let you into his warehouse, whereupon you'll take it and all his other stuff, and then point and laugh.
Sounds like too much work. Maybe I'll just play WoW instead. Oh, sorry. That's my snark showing through. If I want to do something easy, I play WoW.
So those of us that don't know, EVE is a Mamorpica?
Yes.
It is what they call a sandbox game, which pretty much is, you know the rules, there are no rules. Anything that you can do is pretty much legal, including deceiving other players, ripping them off for trillions of credits, or ISK as they call it in game, and all kinds of other vile fun. Which
how popular is that particular?
Last I heard, they have about 350,000 players at any given time. So most games have server shards or different servers that people play on. Right. Eve is one giant sandbox where everybody plays in the same environment. So,
which is pretty cool.
350K. Yeah, that's great technology. Love the technology behind it.
It's also a sci-fi game, which there aren't as many of those in the realm as there are sort of sword and sorcery, fantasy based ones.
Oh yeah,
so,
for the longest time that was it for
yeah.
Well,
now it's
Anarchy
what
Online.
that and the Star Wars one and the Star Trek one, if it's even still there.
Yeah, Star Wars, Star Trek. You've got Black Prophecy. There's Tycho Dome. There's a few others out there now, but at the risk of showing my bias, Eve is probably the best of the sci-fi games out there.
Yeah. Well, Eve has a lot going for it because it's really unique. Like, there is really no other game that's like Eve at all. But you have to be willing to really commit.
Yeah, there's a steep learning curve in that game. And, a lot of the complaints that people have about games like World of Warcraft is you have all the 12-year-olds who go into chat and make Chuck Norris jokes all day and just basically degrade the environment, the social environment of the server. Whereas if you act like a jerk at Eve Online, they can kill you and will
They'll make it. They'll make a new multi and a clan specifically to do so.
Yep. So it kind of weeds out the garden variety jerks, but the not so garden variety, the extraordinary jerks are still there and manage to do some spectacular things from time to time.
Yeah, basically to geek cross-pollinate, Eve Online is the Memorpga that the House of Slytherin plays.
Yes, well said. That's pretty much exactly it. Now, who is Slytherin? Oh, I'm sorry.
And now, some of the Ravenclaws who enjoy doing things like gaming the market and becoming materials tycoons.
Well, there's a story about one guy who basically ran a player-run bank. That said you deposit your money with him, and he would pay you a certain low amount of interest and so on and so forth. And he ran it for several months and had several trillion worth of ISK stored in this bank, and then created an alt, transferred funds. Everybody had an account with a guy, woke up one day and realized their money was gone.
Yeah, it was like the Bernie Madoff of Eve Online.
That's what I was just thinking.
And honestly, the best thing about it is reading the accounts of all the ridiculously elaborate criminal schemes that people have come up with on this game.
Well, what really gets to me, though, is people say, oh, it's just a game. But here's the fun part. You can convert in-game currency into items that are worth real-world cash. You can buy an item in the game that's called Plex, which is basically a month's worth of game time. So if the subscription fee for Eve is $15 a month, you can buy an item that's worth $15 a month. So there pretty much is an exchange rate between in-game money and real-world money. And this banking scam with trillions of ISK, they estimated it was several hundred thousand dollars worth of in-game currency that just vanished. Wow. And the guy could have purchased game time for like 11 years or something ridiculous.
Did anybody go after him, or what happens after that?
Oh, they knew who it was. They knew who the guy was. And Eve said, hey, you gave him your money. It's legal as Christmas.
Yeah.
Wow.
the developers will not step in. You handle it in-game.
Exactly.
There was another guy that was carrying the Plex items, had like 70 some odd, basically 6 years worth of game time in his cargo hold, was jumping to a system. A couple other players scanned it, saw what they had in his cargo hold, blew him up with the intention of stealing the free game time, wound up destroying it entirely. So 6 years worth of game time, several hundred dollars, poof.
Wow, that is ridiculous. So let me ask you, how many hours a week do you spend on?
Well, see, there's two answers to that. There's the one I tell my wife.
And the reality.
Actually, these days they're closer to the same because I've reduced my habit to one or two games. So I probably keep it. I'm a light player. I'd probably say between 15 and 20 hours a week.
Now, which two are your most popular games that you play, let's say?
Well, the bulk of my time is in Star Wars The Old Republic these days. I am considering getting back into World of Warcraft because, well, it's the granddaddy of them all. I'm doing 7 WoW panels at Dragon Con. I should probably be aware of the latest of what's going on in that game.
Pandas is what I hear is the latest in that. Is that out yet?
Pandas and Pokemon, it's coming out. And,
Did you say pandas and Pokemon?
The new expansion is called Mists of Pandaren, and there's a playable panda-based race. And the reason I say and Pokemon is now your collectible pets can be used in a kind of combat-oriented game. So, yeah, you have non-combat pets that fight each other.
Collect them and then Pokemon. Fight them. Pretty much, yeah.
I choose you, Panda Boy.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that when that game goes live.
Sweet. All right.
I don't know. I'm more of a serial monogamist when it comes to that kind of thing. Like, I'll be really into it for a couple of weeks or a month, and then I'll get bored of it, and I won't play it again for a long time. Yeah. So I like the one thing that kept me into EVE for a while was the fact that you could train while you weren't signed on.
Yeah.
So there was this real compelling thing for you to keep logging in to just change what you were training. So there was always something building up.
Oh, if I had a dollar for every time, hang on a second, let me log into EVE and change my skills.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I when I was writing for Massively, gosh, I was up to 12 different games at any given time. And I wasn't king of that list by a long shot. One of my former staffers, she's not going to be here this year. But at one time, she had 23 different MMOs installed on her computer.
I don't think I could even name 23. Wow. I want to play Star Wars, but it does not out for the Mac, so I have to wait and see if they bring a client out for the Mac eventually.
Boot camp.
I know, but I don't want to buy another Windows license. I thought I was done with that.
I don't blame you.
I got into MMOs because of I had EverQuest. The original EverQuest was actually a text in a class I took in college in nonlinear narrative.
Really?
I had that, Deus Ex, Black and White, and The Sims, and then like the movie Groundhog Day, the movie Run Lola Run, a couple other things. And it was a fateful class. It has changed the course of my life in so many ways.
Once you start down the dark path, forever will it dominate your destiny.
Well, the trouble was, though, I never leveled up very much in EverQuest because I just liked to make things. So I spent all my time, I think I had a halfling, and I spent all my time outside the halfling starter city killing spiders so that I could make silk, so that I could weave cloth, so that I could be a tailor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got bored of that after a while. But well, you know thing I've done now, actually, more than anything else, is Kingdom of Loathing, which I always I'll leave it for a couple years, and then I'll go back to it and discover I had some random thing in my inventory that's now worth a couple million meat, and I'll get really excited and sell it. And then
I love that game. God, a soft spot in my heart for Kingdom of Loathing.
You know, the thing that really impresses me about Kingdom of Loathing, like I was playing Final Fantasy 13, and because I was close to the end and I just wanted to finish it to see if it really was as bad as I had remembered. Yes. But I was playing Final Fantasy 13 and I had like my laptop open and I had Kingdom of Loathing in the browser. And my husband came in and he's like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm playing Final Fantasy 13 and Kingdom of Loathing. I'm like, you know what's the sad thing? And I was in one of those really fancy levels where there's like tons of, you know, sparkly things and fancy effects. And I mean, of course, it looks great.
Yeah.
Those games always look good. I'm like, so here's this. And I kind of scrolled around so you could see all the fanciness. And, and here's that. And I pointed to the Kingdom of Loathing browser window with a little stick figure in it. And I'm like, this one is way more fun.
Yeah.
Because it's all down to the design of the game. And a good design and playability will go so much farther than just mere prettiness.
Bingo. Yeah, if eye candy were the mark of a good game, everybody would be playing Aeon right now.
Yeah.
Instead, nobody's playing Aeon right now.
Yeah, and of course, that's the hard part. You know, everything else, if you push enough hardware at it, you can eventually, you know, get something that looks really impressive. But if it's not at root a fun game, people just won't play it. I mean, if I counted it up as many times as I've bought Mr. Accessories and Items of the Month and stuff in Kingdom of Loathing, I've probably spent $200 on that game.
Yep. And well, that's why so many games are going free to play now, because you throw the item store and people drop $5 here, $5 there. Next thing you know, they've spent $200 on stuff, whereas $15 a month.
Yeah, or like $69. They're like, oh, that's a big purchase. I don't know. But yeah, I'll pay $5 for that extra outfit or whatever it may be.
Well, a lot of games are starting to do that now. Guild Wars is another one where you just buy the box for $70 and that's it. That's all you have to pay for.
I liked that. I liked that model too, the buy once. It's interesting the different things that the different games are good at.
Yeah.
You know, all the different little mechanics, and they put their own little twist on it. I mean, my trouble is always that I don't really like playing with other people that much.
Yeah. And if you're not antisocial before you start playing MMOs, exposure to the wrong one will make you antisocial in a hurry.
Yeah. I think the trouble is I didn't have friends who were playing the same games as me at the same time. So it was always randoms and pickup groups. And that's enough to sour you on things real fast.
Yep. Definitely true.
Hey, well, let me ask about Dragon Con.
I was going to say, before we completely run off the rails here.
So, for anybody that's listened this far and doesn't know what an MMORPG track is, explain what it is you do, Kevin.
Well, MMORPGA is a shorter way of saying massively multiplayer online role-playing game. Or millions of men online role-playing girls, take your pick.
Nice.
Now, to be fair, some of them are role-playing, like, cow girls or...
females. Girls. Yeah. We can't really say girls. We just say females of some indeterminate species.
And
super pandas.
And so what does your track cover? Does it just cover those, exactly those, only the massively online,
area of the genre role-playing that we cover. Now, we are branching from that a little bit this year. Let me backtrack. Aside from the games themselves, we also cover things like The Guild. That falls under our track.
Nice.
I get to hang with Felicia Day every year, which wants to be me right now.
Everybody.
Exactly. By the way, as an aside, I heard your podcast with Tom Kearns when he was talking about Pi and what it did to the cast of The Guild.
Right.
I can confirm that story because I was the one giving them the pie.
And as I understand it, there is an order in from them already.
Yes, there is.
Now, let me ask you, what is your take on pie? Have you had it?
I have. It is a deliciously evil substance. It will sneak up on you in a heartbeat. I know last year when Colin Ferguson, Will Wheaton, and I put away a gallon of the stuff in about 10 minutes, it was probably the biggest reason why Will was late for his autograph signing the next morning.
Well, and
at some point we were dancing with three young ladies, and at some point in the proceedings, the ladies disappeared, and I was dancing with Colin and Will.
Yeah, and as I said,
as
Will Wheaton was actually touching people, which is unusual for him.
His hand, briefly.
Briefly, ever so briefly, and then he got a little bit sober. All right, so you cover, you also get the guild, and do you cover any just regular role-playing games that might not be online?
Well, there's one this year that is kind of a hybrid. I'm actually fighting with our new video games track director. I say fighting. It's a friendly kind of fight. Over Diablo 3. Because it basically does everything that an MMO does, except for the fact you can only play with up to four people at one time.
So it's not massive?
Not really massive. But it's online. It's a role-playing game. You have to log into it just like you log into WoW.
You have to log into it even if you're playing
even
by
if
yourself.
You're playing solo. You have to log in online. I know.
The heartburn that has occurred.
This is the best part. When they take the servers down for maintenance on World of Warcraft on Tuesdays, StarCraft II and Diablo 3 go offline as well, even though if you want to play them single player, you can't because you can't log into BattleNet.
Ooh.
That's awesome.
Good.
I can
thinking.
Just imagine.
Yeah, there was much nerd rage when that was discovered.
So what about when the new Minecraft expansion that adds in adventuring comes out?
You see, some of my staff love Minecraft, so I will probably be cajoled into, is that how you say it? Cajoled? I don't know. Anyway,
I think so.
I'll probably pushed into covering that one year. That was one of the games I picked up and went, eh, put it down 5 minutes later.
I think it's like, it scratches that Sims house building itch to some degree. And it's like building with Legos or Lincoln Logs or something.
Legos Online is what I called it to my Snarkast co-host.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's a great one. I always like to turn the monsters off because they always come and bother me when I'm trying to build a new terrace.
So yeah, if you could just disable the game mechanics that you don't like in a game, I mean.
Hey, you know, there's something to be said. Awesome. I will say, you know, the new trend of having lots of difficulty levels in just regular single player games is something that I'm pleased with because it makes them more accessible to more people.
Well, absolutely. City of Heroes did that years ago, where you could pick the level of difficulty, and whenever you went on a mission or did something like that, it adjusted the difficulty of the mobs that you faced accordingly. And mm-hmm. I love that feature. City of Heroes did a lot of things first, and never really got credit for it.
That is true. Actually, I played it when it first came out as well, and I think that it fell into the thing that killed it the most was that it became too repetitive, and they weren't on top of getting new content out as much as say World of Warcraft might be. World of Warcraft had a head start, so it got it got a little bit more because of just Warcraft, obviously.
It had a whole world it could build on, so to speak.
Right, but you're right. The City of Heroes, I actually loved that game for a long time. I played it probably for about a year, and then dropped it just because it became kind of more just the same thing over and over again. When they were doing, I forget what the City of Villains was the next thing. But they had been promising it forever, and it was just never coming out, and finally just got frustrated and said, forget it. I'm out of here.
Well, it's the funny thing about COH is Cryptic, the studio that originally did it, and it went to NCSoft, and it's been kicked around a few times over the years. But the running knock on Cryptic games is, great game, but it's basically the same 5 or 10 dungeons reskinned.
Right.
And once you've played them, the game turns into a repetitive grind fest. And you look at other games they've released, like Star Trek Online. Once you've done about 30 missions, you've done everything you could possibly do in that game, and it's just a grind fest until max level. Uh-huh. And certain studios have reputations for doing certain things with their games. Like with Blizzard, they'll never announce a release date. It's ready when it's ready, but when it comes out, it's inevitably really solid and really put together. They have a great reputation, and they've capitalized on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, Sony, great ideas for games, great customer service, and inevitably something bites them in the butt every time.
Well, speaking of studios, what studios will you have there this year? I know sometimes you have reps from all the studios.
Well, the KOL guys are coming back. Josh, Kevin, and Jake are all coming back. Sony Online is going to be there this year. They're actually sponsoring our track party.
Oh, nice.
Super.
Oh, yeah, which I get to plug that later, so we'll just throw that marker in there.
Okay.
CCP's coming, the guys that do EVE Online.
Now, they're from, we're in Scandinavia, right?
Well, their main headquarters is in Reykjavik, Iceland.
Right,
But they have a development studio here in Atlanta.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
they were shipping that collector book from here, I remember, when it came out.
Yeah, it was real tough to get the EVE Online guys to commit. I just, emailed one of their guys and said, hey, Ned, I'll buy you a 6-pack if you show up to Dragon Con this year. Okay.
Hey.
Easiest pitch I ever made. But, let's see. AQ Worlds are coming back. They do a bunch of smaller games like Adventure Quest, Fable Quest. Their claim to fame is basically Voltaire makes a surprise appearance at their panel pretty much every year. So it's not a surprise if you've been there before, but if you're looking to see Voltaire do an impromptu quick acoustic set, that's probably not a bad place to hang out.
An unannounced appearance.
Exactly. And Felicia has made a few unannounced appearances on our track, too, but I can't even hint at those, otherwise we'd be swamped.
Oh, yeah. I've got to stop being on panels for a while this year and actually go to some. That sounds really fun.
Yeah, it's last year I was still recovering from the birth of my kid, but I'd made a conscious decision to kind of go easier on my staff and not schedule them for as many hours. And it's like, guys, get out there and enjoy the con, because you miss a lot of cool stuff if you're just holed up in your track room all weekend.
Speaking of your track room, where are you guys located this year? Are you still down in the Sheraton, or?
We are moving. We have moved, I should say. We were in the Sheraton last year, and a lot of our big stuff, like the WoW meet and greet and the guild stuff, will still be there because they have the ballrooms. But our track room itself is moving to Grand Salon E in the Hilton.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Which, if you're not sure where that is, it's right across the lobby from the Walk of Fame.
Oh, that's nice. That's a good place to be.
Conveniently located for those of us staying in the Hilton.
I am very, very pleased with that, especially now that the Digital Gaming Lab is bringing PCs back, so we'll be able to run some live demos. There's a new video gaming track that'll be in that area, so...
Oh,
those
that's
of you
exciting.
Want to go see Dragon Age stuff right next to the MMO stuff, we'll all be in one hotel now, so it's a lot better for the folks who really want to see the gaming stuff.
Now, had the Digital Gaming Lab not been there the last few years?
It had been there. They did all PCs until a couple of years ago, and then they made the decision to go to all consoles. So it's all Xbox and PS3s and that kind of thing. I think this year they're bringing the PCs back.
Where were they located?
They are also in the Hilton, also on the second floor. If you go across the bridge from the Marriott to the Hilton, if you take a left, there's a little diagonal slanting hallway. It's down there.
Huh. Because I know that one of the first couple of years I was there, actually it might have been later, but anyway, they were basically all PC, right? And they were having... tournaments all the time, going all the time, right? And then I could never find them again, and so I wasn't sure if they were still around or.
It's a beast to run a computer lab that sucks down that much power for 4 days.
Right.
So they made the decision a while back to take out the PCs, but now there's so many tournament games out for PCs. You got StarCraft, League of Legends, and all kinds of stuff that they're bringing that back. The trick with a lot of gaming stuff is you really got to kind of hunt for it. And then once you find it, you know, it's going to be there pretty much until the end of time, we hope. But, you know, like if you know where the LARP area is, you'll be able to find it every year. If you know where board gaming is, you'll be able to find it every year. And I think the reason they've moved us and the digital gaming and video games into the same part of the hotel is they want that same kind of home base. Like once you find us, we're always there.
Nice.
Yeah, it helps with pathfinding.
Yeah, navigating crowds becoming more of a challenge since I started doing this. That's
indeed.
So, what went really well for you? What surprised you last year, and maybe in how well it went? That maybe you didn't think. Like, maybe did you have a panel that was, I don't know. You thought
unexpectedly popular.
That's the words I'm looking for. Thank you, Kim. This is why we have you.
Unexpectedly popular. Yeah, I'd have to say we did a Watch the Guild marathon. I knew the guild panels were going to draw. I mean, it's Felicia Day and company. They always pack the room. We had Will Wheaton. Of course, you know, they're going to pack the room. But when we set aside a room that we were just going to show episodes of the guild back to back to back through all four at the time seasons, I thought we might get, you know, 50, 60 people, and they might hang out for an hour or so. But we had about 350 people, and they were hanging out till about 4 in the morning.
Wow. Nice.
It really turned into an all-nighter.
How did that room smell?
Well, we got the Atlanta Ballroom in the Sheraton, so fortunately we had a room big enough to handle it.
Oh, okay.
If we'd put it in the track room, there would have been no survivors. The MMO track sponsored by Febreze.
Hey,
I think that's
not a bad idea.
Sponsored by Febreze.
The board gaming guys are going to hate me, but maybe the board gaming could be.
Well, all I'm going to say, first-time attendees, all attendees at DragonCon, if you're listening to this podcast, please, for the love of God, bathe daily, use deodorant, not optional.
And costumes are only good for one hot day.
God, you aren't kidding. I could wring out my costume after a couple hours of wearing it.
What do you dress up as?
That's the main reason I don't costume anymore. It was just too hot.
Oh, I did it for the first
and
time.
And not in the fun
first
way.
First costume at Dragon last year.
What was your costume last year?
I wasn't going to go there. What's that?
What was your costume last year?
I went as Monstroso from the Venture Brothers.
Oh.
Nice.
Wow.
So I figure I was big enough to pull it off, and I had the, you know, the evil-looking goatee and made myself the little hood with the devil horns and all that. And wow. Unfortunately, I didn't have the voice to match, but it was kind of night when I got picked out very easily by the Venture Brothers crowd, because there aren't many people that dress as Monstroso.
Nice. So
I think part of the key is to find a unique look and really make it work for you.
Well, like I said, it takes a really big guy to pull off Monstroso, because in the cartoon he towers over everybody. So I thought I was really going to pull off the biggest Venture Brothers costume until the guy dressed up as the 20-foot space alien had stilts and all that kind of thing. I couldn't touch that. But I was able to get 5 women in my lap at the same time. That was nice.
Well, there you go.
So, what about this year? What do you got planned this year? What are your big events this year? Oh, no, next year. What about next year? No, this year. How about this year? Yeah, let's go with this year.
This year, next year, some year.
When do you plan on doing something? That's what I'm asking. No, just kidding.
Well, yeah, there's a couple of things that I'm really curious to see how they turn out. Well, 3 of them, actually. One of which is we're combining the World of Warcraft costume contest and meet and greet into one big event where we're going to have the costume contest to start off with, and then it's going to slide right into a World of Warcraft trivia contest where everybody plays and we give away prizes and all kinds of fun stuff.
Oh, that'll be fun.
So it's going to be, you know, 5 solid hours of WoW, so ouch. But we're hoping that it works out pretty well.
Oh, that is as nothing for WoW players, though.
Yeah,
5 hours.
No players, 5 hours. You're looking for a group for 5 hours.
I know. It's like you can barely get into what you're going to do that day.
Exactly. The other thing we're doing this year is with the Heroes and Villains Ball, our track party. We decided last year, in kind of an ironic twist of fate, we had the Gathering of Heroes party down in one ballroom, and Brit Track was running the Villains Ball up in a different ballroom. Well, like chocolate and peanut, heroes and villains, chocolate and peanut, it just made sense. You know, it's like I got together with the Brit Track director, so why don't we just combine parties since everybody was jetting back and forth between our respective parties anyway. And so this year we have the Heroes and Villains Ball.
Nice.
Of course, the British people are evil because, you know, that's how they are, and everybody in an MMO is a hero, and that's what we are, so we figured it would go well together.
There you go.
I'm not going to tell tales out of school, but I will say that it was the Gathering of Heroes party last year where Will and the cast of the guild got collectively fishnicked off of pie. So
now,
if you'd like to meet some of these folks in a more social setting, that would be the place to do it.
Now, what did you mention what day that was?
That day, the Heroes and Villains Ball is Saturday at 10 o'clock.
Okay. Now, I will point out at this point, since we did just say a day and a time, all schedules are tentative. And until you're actually at the event, it's not happening. So, you know, pay attention.
Let me rephrase. We are planning
yes.
for it to be Saturday at 10 o'clock.
Yeah. As my normal, caveat, I throw in there my normal warning, my normal, what do you call it? Small text. I throw in there every time.
Disclaimer.
Disclaimer.
Yes.
Disclaimer is the word I'm looking for. Thank you.
Glad I can help.
Words.
Hard. Talking's hard.
Talking is hard,
especially when you're a nerd. Anyway,
well, the other one, and I got, and my track sponsor is going to kill me if I don't mention this. But,
who's your track sponsor?
Guild Launch is our track sponsor. Nice. They were gracious enough to help out with some prizes and basically paid for the bar for the party and all kinds of other goodies.
Woohoo!
By the way, Sony, you know, I said sponsor the party. They are also helping to pay some of the expenses for throwing this little shindig. So, kudos to them. But Guild Launch is actually has started a new award called the Dragon Slayer Awards. It's basically awards for community management, most passionate fan base, community manager of the year, talking about Ghost Crawler and some of those guys. We're basically kind of honoring the people that have to deal with forum trolls on a daily basis.
And oh, they should be honored.
Right. So we've thrown together, there's a voting page on the Guild Launch website, and voting goes right through the start of Dragon Con, and then we'll have our award show on Sunday where we give awards to the community reps, many of whom will be there. We also have awards for like best web series, best web comic. I'm not a prognosticator, but I have to say that Felicia's heavy, heavy favorite to win one of those awards. Just a guess.
Generally a safe guess.
Right. And then, of course, the ultimate bit of irony would be if Penny Arcade wins the award for best webcomic when they're running a convention opposite ours on the same weekend in Seattle.
Is it back to the same weekend again?
It is. They had a scheduling snafu last year, which caused them to go a week earlier than Dragon Con, which made us very happy. And it's probably the reason we got Will Wheaton, but now they're back on Labor Day weekend. So.
Right. It's probably also the reason why we got Colton and
Storm.
All those guys. Yeah. That's unfortunate. I really wish we could figure that out. Maybe we need to invite them to Con.
Well, that's kind of funny you should say that, because we're kind of playing that angle a little bit. If they get the awards, like, hey, Gabe, Tycho, come on down. Come see us. So
we're very friendly, and only some of us are creeps.
Well, and I mean, I know that we're simulcasting to Worldcon this year, and vice versa, but maybe if they're going to continue to do this, maybe we have to go with Penny Arcade, too, at some point. Or PAX.
Well, and the thing is, Penny Arcade Expo is more or less a straight gaming show.
Right.
And a straight video gaming show at that. I mean, it's more of a industry show where the studios go and they unveil new products, and they do a lot of stuff that's important to the gaming industry. But Dragon Con's kind of a general, you know, there are a lot of people that go to Dragon Con that don't give two hoots about gaming. They'll get in their track room for the weekend and they're done. That's it.
Well, Dragon Con is like a whole bunch of little cons all in the same place at the same time that you can hop back and forth.
Exactly.
I mean, it's really the thing that I always kind of love about Dragon Con that's different from a lot of the other cons is how many track rooms fill up healthily with panel guests who are, you know, they're not in the industry. They're not anybody that's, you know, quote unquote famous, but they're people who are really knowledgeable or passionate about a certain area. And there's people there who want to talk about that or hear other people talk about it. And so it's there. Like in Extract, they have a pathologist who comes and talks, who's great. And it's all these little things that don't necessarily fit in with a lot of the bigger names, you know, traditional cons. But I think what makes Dragon Con so special is that kind of unique flavor that it has.
Well, and at the end of the day, that, you know, I got my start at Dragon Con because I was a smart aleck in an EverQuest panel that the EFF track was running. And it just so happens that one of the panelists was a fan that I had gone to high school with. Mm-hmm. And he recognized me, pulled me up on stage and said, okay, smart guy, you answer the questions. And I did. And, you know, several events later, I wind up being the director of a new track and he's my assistant director. But it all starts and ends with the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of our track is, yeah, we have the studios come in to talk about their stuff, and there's value in that. But a lot of our programming is stuff like a City of Heroes panel. We didn't even have it on the schedule last year because, well, it's a 10-year-old game, and you know the studio wasn't giving us the time of day, so why should we bother having anything to do with it? And a bunch of fans showed up to our track wrap-up and said, well, if you don't have anybody to do a City of Heroes panel, we'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, if their fans want to step up and get involved, part of my job is to facilitate fan involvement. So if a fan wants to get in and do something, and I can provide that for them, I'm happy to do it.
Well.
End of speech. Sorry.
And off soapbox.
You heard us, Dragon Con. It's all about you.
We love people. But then we're...
Ketchup.
But then not. Nice. So what other things are you looking forward to at Con besides what's on your track?
Well,
if you can get away, of course.
If I can get away. I want to go down to the gaming area just for a little while and actually play some card games and some board games. I've been coming to Dragon Con for 10 years, and the only time I go down there is on business to talk to the other directors. I don't get a chance to actually go down and play, so I'm looking forward to doing that for a day. I want to see Grant Imahara because, you know, I'm a big Mythbusters fan, so I'm looking forward to that. And then, of course, I heard about Alice Cooper today, and I'm Alice Cooper is coming to Dragon Con.
That is awesome. Hold on. Was that on the Facebook page? I noticed. Oh, yep. There it is. Right there. Welcome. Oh, wow.
Oh, Dragon Con.
Now, is he actually going to play, or is he just there to...
I don't know, and I'm not sure I care. I think I would I think I would listen to him recite Vogon poetry for an hour.
In his golf uniform, too.
Yeah, especially if he wears the checkered golf pants. I mean, yeah.
That is awesome. Wow. That is pretty freaking sweet. Now, I wonder... I guess he winds up in horror, I guess.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, Welcome to My Nightmare 2, I think, is either coming out, just come out, or has been announced, or is in the works or something. But, I mean, the guy is pretty much the progenitor of heavy metal, and the stagecraft and the imagery and everything that goes with it.
Yeah.
So
that is freaking awesome. Yeah, it's right there. Right there, right on the website. By the way, Dragon Con, I guess this is sort of the official way they're doing this now, is things are getting published to the Dragon Con, official Dragon Con page first before it winds up on the website. That seems to be the ongoing pattern, so.
I think the social media person is a little more on top of it than the official website guy or something, but there's two different people that do that, and I think Phoenicia's a little quicker on the draw when it comes to social media.
Well, again, all she has to do is just go in there.
Not that I'm complaining. It's nice to get those announcements, but that's how I found out we were getting the entire cast of the guild. nobody told me. As I look on the page, like, oh God, I've got all of them.
Yeah,
so it was like the day before the staff meeting. I was like, I think I'm going to need more than one panel for the guild. And Regina didn't even look up. She says, you've got four of them. Relax. So I've got a guild panel every day this year.
You're not the first director to say that, you know, sometimes they hear it at the same time that everybody else hears it.
Yeah.
That's what just happens. But yeah, that's nice. Oh no, actually, you know what? I think Alice Cooper might be going into Kaleidoscope.
Hold on.
The Kaleidoscope fan track. I'm just kidding. The Kaleidoscope fan track is the tweens fan track. Yes.
So what's he going to do? Eat iCarly?
Please?
Hey, wait a minute. There might be a fan
track.
He does
that thing where he beheads Britney Spears again. I'm all for it.
Wow. That is awesome. I'm genuinely excited about that. Doctor Who, whatever. Alice Cooper? All right. I'm game.
Don't let
Carol
hear you say that about Doctor Who. She gets
she knows. She hears it
everyone at Dragon Con.
She hears it from me every year. So. She knows I don't really care for Doctor Who. I know that other people do, and I'm not going to besmirch them, but just because they're wrong, it's fine. Anyway, right?
You know, I'm pretty sure you can get beheaded by the Queen if you say that about Doctor Who.
Email 50days@theuniquegeek.com with all your complaints to be ignored. what else do we got going on? I know we've asked you this every year. We've had you on. This is your third year here. But if you could have three guests besides Alice Cooper, and three guests that you haven't mentioned before, if you can remember who they were, because I can't. So I'm going to take I'm going to take your word for it.
I had trouble remembering what I had for breakfast this morning, which is what I said on a podcast a year ago.
Who would they be?
Well, number one would be Christine Hendricks, because, well, that's kind of my...
on your list? We've been talking about that a lot. This seems to come up in every podcast now.
I ain't gonna lie. Damn.
I'd like to I like to leave mine adjustable, my list adjustable, so that I wait to see who's going to con and then I'll take my chance. Never mind.
Well, I have been prohibited by the wife from putting Felicia on the list because it's like, hey, you've got pie, you've got So anyway, the other guests I would love to see. I'd love to see Schwarzenegger come to Dragon Con.
Oh, that would be nice. That'd be awesome.
I would pay a lot of money just to see the number of people that come up to him and try to use that bad Arnold voice in front of him, because I think that would be hysterical.
Yes, 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 I get it. You have a bad accent too.
Yeah. Let's see, who else? Oh, and I want to see Rock Sugar play Dragon Con.
I'm going to have to confess, I don't know who that is.
Not many people do. They did an album of all mashup cover. They did one called Don't Stop the Sandman. It was a mashup of Journey's Don't Stop Believing and Metallica's Inner Sandman. Hysterical.
Oh, I approve already.
They have Voices Carry in the Jungle. I mean, it was like a cheesy 80s pop tune with a metal song. And a whole album of mashups. And the lead singer of said band was also the voice of Wacko on Animaniacs. So he could be on the animation track. So yeah, I got interested in the band, realized I recognized the lead singer's name, looked up some of the stuff they had done, and realized he was pretty much a voice in every cartoon I'd ever watched.
Oh, yeah. Wacko Warner on the Animaniacs from Wikipedia, which is never wrong. Let's see if we can give a couple of quick seconds to this real quick. I don't want to give too much because I don't want to get sued. And if I keep talking over it.
Yeah, you have to say, if you're playing the YouTube video, there's a fair amount of intro. So
there seems to be. I'm going to fast forward here a bit. And even more. Wow, is it the lead singer that was the voice of Wacko?
Mm-hmm.
He does not look like anything like I would have imagined him to look like.
Yeah, wait till he starts singing.
What's that?
You're listening to Dragon Con Radio.
Okay, here we go. Right? No. Sometime yep. today.
Here you go.
Oh, that is really sweet. That is awesome. Okay, thank you.
You
thank
have
you
made
so
some
much.
Converts, man.
Yes, See, thank you very
just
much.
Spreading the word of Rock Sugar.
Wow.
So,
that is
yeah, that's really, a band I want to see play Dragon Con.
That would
Everybody's
be
Googling
badass.
Right now.
Yes. Right? There's several YouTube videos out there, and they look official, too. I don't know how much. Yeah, they're put up there by them, it looks like. Nice. Wow. I'm with you too. Let's start the campaign now. It's a letter writing campaign. We will actually write letters because then everyone will be confused at what this thing is that mail that they're getting.
Just like letter snail mail. What?
What is this? What is
but
this?
Billy Messina, creative director of Dragon Con. If you're listening, Rock Sugar, Dragon Con, bring them.
You can figure some way to get them in there, right? I mean, I've seen some of the bands that they brought in. I mean, when they brought in, what was it, last year it was...
Jefferson Starship.
Crying out loud. Did anybody go to that concert?
I heard about one of the reasons they were brought in, and I can't really bag on it too hard, so...
Well, I mean, I'm sure someone was a big fan and whatnot, so, okay.
Somebody in a really, 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 really high place at Dragon Con was apparently a big fan, so...
And I don't, you know, fine, I don't care. I mean, that's great. I'm sure that there was plenty of people at the concert, but... now it's Rock Sugar. If you haven't brought Rock Sugar, then you haven't brought anybody. That's what I'm saying from now on. Here comes the fool you wanted. Let's see. Shook me like a prayer. This all looks very awesome. More videos.
John, we're
yeah,
still
oh, I'm sorry.
Podcasting.
Voices in the Jungle? Oh, this is, okay. what are we doing here?
I've created a monster. Okay.
All right, Kevin. What were we going to say? Oh, how can people get a hold of you if they want to find out more about your track? Are you taking volunteers still for your track, or are you pretty full at this point?
We're full for this year. Okay. I actually have a crew of people that aren't staff but are going to be hanging around the track room all weekend and helping out anyway. So that's the easiest way to if you want to be on staff, at least for the MMO track, show up, help out. I'll probably beg you to be on staff next year. We have a fair bit of turnover because – Most of my guys, they basically want to come, they want to work a year, and then they want to have fun the next year without having to hang out in the track room all weekend. So I kind of rotate people in and out year to year.
Cool. But if they want to find out more about your track, where do they go? Or more about you?
Well,
get Twitter or whatever?
Our website has moved. We were at www.dc-mmo.org. That now redirects to mmo.dragoncon.org. So our web hosting has moved to the main web hosting site. We are also at DCMMO on Twitter. We also have a Facebook page, and You know, we do all the social media things because, you know, we're hip like that. Or you can send email to mmorpgs@dragoncon.org, as Lee forgot the S and has been sending emails to some unknown address now for the better part of 2 months. Please give her grief about that, too.
I will when she gets back from vacation. Enjoy your vacation, Lee, because when you come back, they'll be...
Anything I can do to give her a hard time, I'm happy to help.
And you, of course, have the Snarkcast.
Well, we've retired it.
Oh, what?
We've retired the Snarkcast.
Why?
The last episode we did was around Christmas time.
Yeah, December 13th.
Yeah. My co-host has since moved to California, is now working in the gaming industry for a studio which shall remain nameless. So a lot of her ability to snark on the gaming industry has kind of been compromised by, well, she works in the business now, and she can't really mix her professional and her Dragon Con personae. So until I get a new co-host, we are pretty much out of the Snarkcast game. So we're leaving them up on the website for people to listen to and laugh at us, but it just wouldn't be right without getting a co-host who can keep me in check, because otherwise I might run my mouth all night long.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Well, you know, she wanted a job in the gaming industry. She was willing to move out to California to chase the dream. And so far, she's making a success of it. So I wish her all the luck in the world, and I love her dearly. And I'm sorry she won't be at Dragon Con this year, but who knows? Who knows where the road takes you? She may be back as a professional guest next year.
Oh, well, that would be cool. Can you say what it is she's doing in the industry, or?
I can't really say. Okay. She's getting involved in community stuff, but out of deference to her, I can't really spill the beans on where or for who or any of that kind of stuff.
Cool. How are you liking Star Wars: The Old Republic, by the way?
Here's
a groan of pain or pleasure?
Because
a little of both.
I've been contemplating going into it, but.
Well, okay, here's the thing. Full disclosure. I was a developer on Star Wars MUD 20-plus years ago. So I have a very long history of Star Wars fandom. It is probably my favorite fandom outside of MMOs.
I used to play in a Star Wars RPG on America Online in the 90s. I feel ya.
Yeah, I mean, I can actually – I'm one of the few people in the universe can actually say I wrote Darth Vader for a video game. I hang my hat on that. That's pretty cool. But anyway, so years and years of involvement in Star Wars, and then Galaxies came out, and I really wasn't impressed, and turns out so were a lot of other people weren't either. So I had a lot of high hopes for Old Republic, and I like the game for what it is, but it's missing some things that more established MMOs have. It can be a lot better than it is. It's good now. I think give it a solid year of churning out additional content and polishing things up, I think it will be a lot better. But I'm kind of disappointed that – I mean, I've already leveled 3 characters to the level cap, and I'm working on my 4th because there's pretty much nothing to do once you hit the level cap.
Oh, well, that's always a problem.
So did you play Knights of the Old Republic?
I did, but that was in a phase where I was giving single-player games pretty much a weekend's worth of playtime before going back to WoW or whatever MMO I was playing. So I was like, oh, yeah, this is nice. All right, back to the moneymaker, as it were.
Yeah. I would just be curious to hear how you thought it compared. I mean, obviously, Old Republic is built on much newer technology, and it's a lot more impressive in that way. But I know a lot of people really, really loved Knights of the Old Republic.
If you love Knights of the Old Republic and you play Star Wars The Old Republic, it will look really familiar to you. I will tell you the game it most resembles is Mass Effect.
Oh.
In the how you interact with NPCs and that sort of thing, it will ring a lot of bells for you. That said... like I said, the storyline quests playing up to max level I think are fantastic, at least on the Empire side. I'm just now starting to play the Republic side. Space combat is, well, it's basically a flash game plugged into an MMO. Space combat mm-hmm. could be a lot better. It doesn't suck, but rail shooters are so 30 years ago. You know, some freeform space combat would be really sweet, but that apparently is not in the cards yet. Right now, there's probably only a dozen or so playable planets. I mean, you know, Hoth, Tatooine, Coruscant, right. that sort of thing. I had read in an interview somewhere that they were looking to have up to 500 different worlds represented in the Star Wars galaxy in that game. And if that's true and that's the scope they're talking about going to, I think the game has a chance to be something really, really special.
That could be phenomenal.
But it's going to take a while for it to get there. And the attention span that a lot of MMO gamers have now is, why isn't the game perfect at launch? You know,
right.
I said the World of Warcraft's launch. I can tell you all about games that need polish.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I think people compare it to World of Warcraft that's been going continuously for what? Nearly 10 years?
Yeah,
so they're comparing it to something that's so much more mature and expecting everything to match that level right when it comes out. So I think there's probably a lot of things that could really be great but aren't able to get enough of a foothold to last. But I really am interested in playing that because I'm a big BioWare fan mm-hmm. in a lot of ways.
Well,
it's
got BioWare's fingerprints.
And I love Mass Effect like you would not believe. So now you're making me really seriously reconsider that boot camp thing. Thanks!
Once you start down the dark path, blah, 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 blah.
I know.
But now, like I said, it's the one game I pay for. Everything else I play is a free-to-play. So, you know, I can tell you I like a bunch of games, but Star Wars The Old Republic is the one I pay for. So, I can't really give it much more of a much better of a recommendation than that.
All right. Good to hear.
Good.
All right, Kevin. Well, thank you for joining us. And thank you once again for managing the track. And thank you to all your staff for always putting on a great show and volunteering their time. It's awesome for those of us that don't volunteer, well, directly with the con, to have you guys around and that you guys are doing, you know, the work that you're doing. I appreciate it.
I got to give all the credit to my staff because those guys put in a ton of work at the convention keeping me sane and keeping the fans happy. So I just set it up. They're the ones that actually run the party and they do all the hard stuff. So all credit to my guys.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Kevin. And of course, Kim, thank you so much for filling in for Lee.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
I appreciate you. Obviously knew a thing or two about about the topic.
It's always fun to get to talk shop.
All right. So for the rest of the Unique Geeks, and oh, by the way, Kim, where can folks find you?
They can find me on needcoffee.com. If you want to hear me blather on about video games, you can look for my semi-regular podcast, The Grew Cafe. We're always glad to have people join in. And you can also see me on Weekend Justice from time to time. And you'll see me at Dragon Con on some yet-to-be-determined number of panels.
Nice.
Video game people, call me.
Until next time, this is John for Kim and Kevin saying peace.
Thanks for having me, guys.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @ The Unique Geek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.